Hi, friends. I'm Rebecca Lindhout.
And I'm Amanda Martinson, and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Moment. We are so excited for you guys to be back with us for today's episode because we are talking all about the power of cultivating community within your area of passion, within your calling. You know, we have been doing this series now for several episodes called Trust in the Call, and we've been sort of deep diving into different aspects of calling. And we are so excited for today's episode because we have a fantastic guest who is joining us, who is going to really just, I think, share insights and experiences just around intentionally building community and building community within our callings, because I think that is such an important and vital piece of this. And so we are very excited to have a special guest with us, Allison Markwood, who's joining us on the show. She is our friend. She is our coworker. She is someone who I think truly, when we were thinking about this episode, we said she is the perfect person to come on here and to talk about building community and what that looks like. She just has such wonderful insight into this and wisdom. And so, Allison, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
We are excited to have you. Tell everybody as much as you want to tell a little bit about yourself. I know it's hard, like in a few minutes, to kind of sum up your whole world, but tell everybody a little bit about who you are and sort of what you do, even at WMU, and just you wear so many hats. So what are some of the hats and things that you wear, and a little bit about just even personally, however much you want to share with us.
Okay. So I am a staff member with WMU North Carolina. I'm currently on contract. I edit the Tar Heel Talk and I take care of the social media. I do a lot of the copywriting and helping prepare materials and that sort of thing for WMU North Carolina. And I'm loving having the opportunity to do that and getting to work with such a tremendous group of women and, support missionaries and women who are on mission throughout the state, whether we're actually missionaries or not. But I do wear a lot of other hats. I am a stay-at-home mom. I homeschool my three kids. I have an 11-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 7-year-old. And I also teach homeschool at a homeschool cohort where I teach three different classes. I do public speaking and storytelling and a history class. So we have a lot of fun with that. And then on top of that, I also help out at my church. And I do copywriting for some other people as well. I'm a community group leader in my church. There's just a lot of different things going on. And so when we talk about community, it's funny because, each of those spaces kind of has its own community. And then at the same time, like there's the one community that I go to for all the things that I really, really need. So, I think it's good to realize that wherever you are and whatever you're doing, there's a lot of different opportunities for community, and it's going to look different in different places.
I love that so much. And I think that's so true. And that is why we wanted to bring you on, because you are in so many different types of community, and you know how different community can look and what that looks like from different seasons of life and different perspectives and things. And it, you know, this idea for this episode, when we were brainstorming, you know, we were sort of, you know, planning out and lining up different ideas for the episodes. And that was the last thing that we came to. We were like, we have to talk about community and why that is important and why that's just a vital piece, not only of our calling, but just of our faith and just our just sanctification, you know, of just growing in Christ. And so I would love for you, because you are such a wise person. And if y'all didn't pick up on any of that she just said, basically what she does is keep us all in line. She keeps us in check. She helps keep the train on the tracks in a lot of different ways.
She does that. And she helps us to word our nonsense in sensical ways. I can say what I want is for you to talk about kids camp, but I want there to be a sloth, and I want him to also tell kids that it's okay to love missions. And she'll be like, okay. And she'll have something that makes complete
sense. Masterpiece. Yeah.
And like the sloth will not be talking, and it will definitely fit better in our social media profile. So she's great at taking our words and turning them into things that actually are coherent.
100%. You just need to send her a paragraph. This is what I'm thinking. This is sort of the vision I have, but I have no idea what this looks like. And she goes, here you go. This is exactly what you were thinking. And you're like, yeah, that is exactly what I was thinking, actually. Yeah, she is such a value to have. Not only have around for work, but just personally, you are just someone who's very wise and you understand so many different types of perspectives and where people are coming from. And I think that's why you have such good insight into this topic. And I would love for you to sort of kick this conversation off, Allison, talking about just sort of the idea of community. How do we define community? And like, why is community important? We know it is important, you know, but really, why is sort of cultivating a sense of community, having that group, why is it important? And sort of, you know, kick us off with how do we define that? What does it look like? Why is it important to us?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, I think that we need to address something that's happened in our society in the last, I don't know, 20 years, maybe. Since I was a teenager, I can remember this big push, especially within Christianity, that you've got to have your daily quiet time and you need to be all by yourself. And I started seeing devotional books that had, you know, a Bible open and one cup of coffee. And for me, the idea that my faith and my life could be lived alone became something that was like really beautiful to me. Like you can just by being by yourself, you can figure out all the things you need to know about God. And then when you figure out all the things you need to know about God, then you're going to be able to figure out everything you need to know about your life. And I think that that just kind of seeped into me, and I truly am actually an introvert. So, I prefer a lot of times to have that quiet space.
Same girl, same.
Yes.
Introverts unite. Yes.
Right. And so for me, like community at first for a long time, I was like, I don't really need that. I could be
like, really, I'm good. No, I'm actually good on that.
Like I've got my coffee and I've got my journal and like a million different colored pens and I'm going to be fine. Like God's going to just tell me everything I need to know. But it didn't take long trying to live that lifestyle for me to feel like I was, first of all, really lonely. And secondly, I wasn't like understanding things about God. I was like reading things and I was learning things, but I wasn't understanding. And I had no real space to put these things that I was learning into context or into practice because I didn't have the community around me. And it was about that time that I was reading a book by Donald Miller that was talking about how, you know, God didn't create Adam to be alone. And he realized like, it's not good for a person to be alone. And so he creates Eve. And then there's an entire community that comes out of that. And so I realized like, whoa, yeah, I can be an introvert, but I really need some people too, to like do life with. And I think that that's what community really is. If you're going to define community, it's your group of people that you're doing life with. And for a Christian, there's even another layer to it. It's where you put what you learn about God and learn about the Bible into practice. You know, we go to church and we hear, sermons and we, you know, we do Bible studies and all that kind of thing. And that's all good and very, very important. But, at my church, we talk about it like that's the lecture. And then, you know, in college, if you have a lecture for like a science class or something, you also have a lab where you practice it and you like, you know, you manipulate it and put it into perspective and, you know, figure out how that works in the real world. And that's what community is. That's your lab. That's where you practice the things that you're learning. And it's where you kind of bounce ideas off of one another and figure out, you know, how are these things that I'm hearing and learning about God actually relevant in real life? And how do I make that a part of how I live every day? So community is super important. You know, we can't just have our cup of coffee. We've got to have our people around us too.
Mm-hmm. I think that is so insightful. And that insight that you had about the one cup of coffee and the reading and all that thing. I totally rejected that from the start because I just get on my own nerves. So being alone with myself is like, no, thank you. You know, I can do it, but I can only take myself in small portions, but as well as my community.
That's true sometimes.
But I remember I read the Donald Miller book you're talking about, which is called Blue Like Jazz. And in that segment, he has, because a person like me likes to have cartoons and illustrations, he has the cartoon of the astronaut, Donald the astronaut. I think it's Donald the astronaut. And he is making a repair on the spaceship, and he comes unplugged from the rest of the spaceship, and he drifts off into space, and nobody knows he's gone. And it shows like his helmet filling up with more and more hair as it grows. He had everything he needed to supply life to himself, except for other people. And I think that that is where a lot of people probably today find themselves, is feeling a little bit like that astronaut who's drifting and nobody really knows me. And if I were gone, who would it impact? And it is an epidemic of loneliness in our country. And it didn't just start with the pandemic. I think the pandemic fueled it, and it allowed for people to become more insular, and not have to feel like it was a weird thing to never want to be with other people and to work from home all the time and to never walk outside of your house. But we can't always be Sandra Bullock in the net, right? So we have to make that connection. We need that lifeline. And literally that's what Donald Miller was showing, was that he lost his lifeline. It was his connection to other people. And also his connection to God, because the Bible tells us that life is meant to be lived in community. And the New Testament, community was a given. It was built in. It was how you survived, literally. As a people, when Christians were being persecuted, community became all the more important. And I'm not sure exactly how we've drifted away from that.
Yeah, I think you're right, Becca. And Allison, you made such good points with that. There is a drift that's happening. And I mean, that has happened and continues to happen. And just as you guys were talking, it's made me think, just even kind of just reflecting on my own view of community and thinking back to, there were seasons that I was very tied to a community, to a church community, to other communities, what difference that made when I think about the seasons where I was more disconnected. And it is very much like that lifeline. And I was thinking too, Allison, what do you kind of walk us through? Because as you have three introverts sitting on a podcast here talking about community.
I'm an introverted extrovert.
She says she's an introvert. I see no proof. No, I'm just kidding. She is more introvert. But I tell you, community and all transparency is hard for me, because it's not hard once I'm in. Once I'm in, you're in, like, you know, like we're in this together. We're for life type of thing. But it is hard to have to take those initial steps to either A, finding a community, and then B, feeling comfortable enough to start opening yourself up to community and to people. So, and I know not everybody listening here is introvert. Some of y'all are like, no, I don't have a problem with that. I'm good to go and talk to as many people and all the things. And that is so good. It's such a strength. But for those that are listening that you're like, yeah, actually that is a struggle for me too. How do we take the step in finding community and then sort of opening ourselves up to, you know, because part of community is a vulnerability, that you're vulnerable with people, that that you have to build a trust, that you build this rapport. And I know for a lot of people that is hard. And like, for me, I don't ever want to feel like I wrestle with like feeling like a burden and not wanting to put too much on other people. So community for me has been a little different of a roller coaster, because I'm trying to figure out how to navigate those pieces. So talk a little bit about that, if you will, finding that community. What does that look like? How do you take those steps and really putting yourself out there, you know?
Yeah, that's something that's really hard. And I think that for adults, it's even harder. Like I watch my kids, and we can go to a playground for 5 minutes and they've all of a sudden made a best friend that they're crying when they leave, and they're, yes, you know, really upset because they're just so open and imaginative and able to connect on such a quick level, I guess, with these kids. And you know, I'll go to church with somebody for 3 or 4 years and be like, no, they're like way more fashionable than me. They don't really want to be my friend. You know, and to be an adult and be facing that kind of insecurity, sometimes it makes you feel, I don't know, it's just silly.
Yeah.
But it really is a hindrance to us when we are looking for community. So as far as like finding your community, I would say the first thing is to look around where you already are. There are a lot of places that I find myself where I'm surrounded by people, but I wouldn't consider them my community because I've just never taken the opportunity to talk to them. Sometimes it's because those are the only moments I have without my children to think by myself for 10 minutes.
Yeah, preach on that, girl.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that, to take that time for yourself and, you know, to be quiet and not interact. But at the same time, when we do that all the time, we miss opportunities to connect with people that God has already put in our, in the same place as us, the sphere mm-hmm. of our influence. And, you know, sometimes it's just as simple as just striking up a conversation about, you know, hey, your kid's doing really well at martial arts today. And then all of a sudden you end up talking on a deeper level. I think that recognizing, first of all, that everybody around us is pretty much feeling that same fear of like, I don't want to yeah. open up. I don't want to be the first one to talk. The problem is if we're yeah. all feeling like we don't want to be the first one to talk, nobody's going to do it.
Yeah.
And so trusting that like people want connection. We really, really do. We want connection. We want people to know us. We want people to see who we truly are. And so being the first one to just kind of step out on a limb and say hello is the first start. If you are starting with nothing,
mm-hmm.
What
well,
I found,
it's got some pretty good cartwheels there.
Yeah, really. I mean, it could be anything.
I like to start with strong eye contact, which is like eye contact and a smile.
That doesn't
and
scare
I'm
you.
trying to fill it out with the eye contact and a smile, or maybe a head nod. You know, like a head nod forward of like, good day, good day,
yes.
good day.
Yeah. Well, it's funny
because
you're
an introvert.
Funny.
I have the trouble.
I was known in college for finding like the most random thing that I could find about a person that was similar to me. And then being like, hey, you like the color pink? I like the color pink. Like, we should be best friends.
Yes.
And then I had so many friendships that started from something that stupid. And the thing is, adults, we're just older kids.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if we were able to like do that same kind of thing now, we would find relationships, I think, a little bit easier to begin.
Yeah.
But what I find more often is that it's not that we don't have anybody around us that we're talking to. It's more that we are not opening up to the people who are close to us. For a long time, I felt like I was failing if my community, if like everybody that I spoke to wasn't really close to me.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus had 12 disciples. And then within that group, he had like 3 or 4 that were in the inner circle. And those were his people that he went to for everything. And I think that that was
only one that he really loved.
Yeah, right. That's what the Bible says.
Enough to put it in scripture. Beloved. Way to go, John. Good for you.
But, you know, a lot of times I think we fall into this trap of like, well, if I'm going to be really open and honest with this one person, I have to be open and honest with all of these people. And I don't think that's true. I think that we need to be honest with people. But we don't have to be 100% see-through vulnerable with everyone either. You know, there are certain people that God puts in our lives that we can say, these are my people that are going to hold me accountable and that are going to love me even, you know, in spite of all of my sin and all of my flaws and all of these things. These are the people I'm going to go to for the most important things. And they're going to pour into me in a way that allows me to be that for somebody else. And that allows me to help other people, you know, help guide other people into those relationships, maybe not even with me, but with other people. And I think that that's something that I've seen in my own life is that I do have my small group of people. I have a huge community of friends and acquaintances and people that I love pouring into and I love sharing with. And I love trying to connect them to people that they're going to find that kind of community with. But I also recognize I can't be that for everybody, and I don't need all of them to be that for me. You know, it's you have to kind of, you can really only have super deep relationships with a small group of people, but you need that.
You need that circle of trust.
Yeah.
And that within that circle of trust, you can be 100% vulnerable. And those are the people that you can, you know, ask, does this mole look funny? But, you know, there's that outer group that you want to be authentic with, you know, that you are sharing ministry with, that don't necessarily have to be in the nitty gritty of your life. But it is important for you to be available for them and to have that kind of community. One of the things that I was thinking about as you're talking about that and as it relates to call is when we don't have that trusted community of people who we can be vulnerable with, then we don't have anyone who is our sounding board or our testing ground to say, yes, this was, I feel like you're on the right track with this, or maybe even that was a bad call and maybe pretty insensitive, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody, people that can test and measure your call alongside you are really, really important. And I really don't think you can have a ministry without that group of people.
Yeah.
Or that, at least that one other person, at least, that's not your spouse.
That's right. That's right. And I think that's a good thing to bring up too, is that, you know, spouses are very important and they're really, they are a part of your community, but they cannot be your only community.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's natural for moms too, right?
Yeah, your kids.
Like, I think I lost a lot of my community when I had children because I was pouring so much into them, so much into my husband. And my husband is here, la-di-da, having his small group meetings that, you know, are the boys club, right, at my house. I can't join them for small group, and so that's something that I really miss in my own life, is having that small group community, but also feeling like where do I fit that in. And but I do have that small group of women in my life who I just say, is it just me, or is this a deeper issue here, and who are my circle of trust.
I think it's so important, like y'all were saying, because not everyone gets the space to speak into your life about certain things. You know, like you're saying, that's reserved for a select few. I mean, I've been having a lot of talks with my oldest, you know, as we prepare to go into middle school, about, you know, not everybody gets access to your heart. Not everyone gets access to, you know, your thoughts and feelings. You be careful about, you know, how you're sharing things. And yet the benefit also of having that sounding board that you guys are talking about, I mean, that's happened even with us. The three of us can attest to even doing that for each other, in a sense that there are times I sit around a table and I say, here's what I'm thinking. And I trust that the two of you are going to say, but have you thought about this? But yeah, but maybe it's not the right time for this. And in the moment I might go, oh, dang, like, yeah, because I really want to do that. But when I step back, I go, no, I trust them and their insight and their, you know, and so there is such a benefit of having that, especially as Becca was saying, when it comes to your calling and sort of cultivating that more, is that you do have those people. The trust is there, that rapport is there that you have built, where you're like, even if I hear a no, or I hear, hey, this maybe isn't the right time for this, I might not like it in the moment, but I can trust that there are reasons why, and go, okay, yeah, that's true. And so there is such a benefit. I think that's such a benefit of community that we often maybe don't think about as much, because we think about it from the place of, you know, having the deeper relationships and the friendships, but being able to have that trust and the accountability, like you were saying earlier, to be able to say, you know, hey, I'm noticing this in your life. I'm noticing this, you know, is this kind of what you're wanting, you know, your life to be like, your faith walk to be like. I mean, there was a time I would have super rejected that sort of idea of community. I'm like, no, thanks, I'm good. You don't know me like that. You know, in my older years, and hopefully what is my wiser years, I appreciate that. I appreciate the accountability, and I appreciate someone pulling me aside and saying, hey, what about this? Have you thought about this? You know, is this the kind of whatever you're wanting to, you know, to convey? Because it's that is an important piece, and that drives that relationship deeper in a lot of ways too.
Well, and I think too that, like, especially for people who are in ministry, it's very easy without a community that can speak into your life like that. It's very easy for the ministry to become your passion instead of God.
Yes.
And having people around you that are like, hey, maybe you need to rework your priorities a little bit is
Yeah.
so valuable because you're not going to be able to do, our calling is important and we should definitely be pursuing that. It is not more important than our relationship with the one who sees everything about us
Right.
and loves us anyway. I think that that's easy, especially in ministry, to get switched up without community pointing that out to you.
Yes.
You need those people that come alongside you. And I think that's the biblical term that's used a lot is come alongside, those
And
people.
that's another point, talking about how to find that, it's kind of a nebulous thing. Like there aren't really steps of like number one,
Right.
go to this coffee shop, and number two, talk to the person. You can't do it like that. It takes time and it takes doing life together, really coming alongside, doing life together. And so, if I were to give somebody advice about like finding community and developing those sorts of relationships, I would just tell them like invite people to be part of your life. A lot of the community in my life, my deepest community has formed because I've had people come to my home and have dinner with me at my table. Come over and I love teapots because my grandmother collected teapots, and so I'll get them down and we'll have tea out of teapots. Something so small that turns into a deeper connection because that's so meaningful to me. It becomes a deeper connection, and then I can see like, are we on the same page? Are we working toward the same things? And we begin to have conversations about our families and about our childhoods and about the people who've influenced us. And it takes time to get to the place where you have that sort of community, but you don't have that time if you don't make it. Right. It's one thing. I think a lot of us look back to college and high school and we're like, oh, but we had so many friends then. It's because you did everything together. You did school. You were in class all day together. You did your extracurriculars together. In college, you live in the same dorms. You're together all the time. When you grow up and you get your apartment or your house or whatever, you're isolated unless you've opened your door and invited people to come in and be a part of what you're doing. And it doesn't have to be fancy. And your house doesn't even have to be super clean. My favorite saying when I invite people over is, "Welcome to my mess. Like, come be a part of it with me. Like, this is real life. I live here. There are clothes on the couch, and there are toys on the floor, and this is how it is. And I just want you to come be a part of it with me because I know you're in a similar place, and we can support and love each other through that."
One thing that I have noticed recently, and I don't know if you guys have seen this same thing, and it's encouraging. This is a positive thing that I've noticed. I have noticed that there is an element to community that I think we've sort of, I don't know if taken back is the proper terminology, but I have noticed because just like you're saying about inviting people in, there's a part of you, and this kind of goes back to hospitality, but there's that part of that's like, oh, people coming into my home, and then and it's hard, like as a mom, you're bouncing all of the things, and there is again a vulnerability that comes into play when you are inviting people into your home and seeing maybe things that you're thinking, I wish this was picked up, I wish that I wish that this was different, I wish all of the things. And there is a sort of a movement that I've seen, and it's mainly, I would say it's mainly across social media, but I've seen it really in my personal life with friends and stuff too, is this sort of taking back sort of mentality of like, no, this is what this looks like. This is my real life. And if we're in relationship with one another, this is an accept, we accept this about each other. We encourage each other. I don't know if you guys have seen that too, where it's almost like, I don't know if it's because we live such a social media filled world that there is a part of us that is longing for a deeper authenticity with people. And so there is the draw there of like, hey, this is just what real life is. And I have been encouraged by that and both challenged by that to be more like that because that is real. And that's what we respond to. We respond to realness within people. Even, you know, you going back and at the beginning talking about, you know, finding kind of silly things to be connected with people about or sort of random things. But those are the things to me that are such bridge builders, because they are things that we probably wouldn't normally think about telling people, or, oh, you watch that show too, or, oh, you know, like just having those connectors, because it makes it, because it's real and that's real life. And so I've sort of noticed that the last, I would say maybe few years, but I, and like I said, not even just on social media in terms of, hey, this is, you know, Instagram versus reality type of situation, but within people within my real community, they're like, this is what this, I mean, the house isn't always picked up. We don't always have the fridge stocked full of all of the, you know, the perfectly organized snacks and, you know, I mean, all of the things, like, this is just how it is. And I appreciate that. And want to be more like
there
that.
There has to be someone to go first though. Right. And I think that's the thing for creating Christian community, is go first, be the first one to say, this is my mess. Right. And I remember when I went to, MomCon, which is the, you know, MomCo's, annual gathering, it used to be called MOPS. And Mandy Arriato, I think I've shared this before, maybe not, but she was talking about, like, we're all just moms here. And she said, when moms come, if I don't have, like, if I have done my laundry, I'll still go get my laundry basket and put it on the couch, because most of the time that is my house. And she said, and every mom can relate to a laundry basket on the couch, which was really funny that you said that. But then she also shared, she said, you know, there's times in my life when I've got the laundry done, she said, but there's times in my life when it gets so busy that I'm having to wear a swimsuit bottom as underwear. And I remember thinking, yes, I have done that, you know, and just the vulnerability of her saying that and how many heads nodded up and down in that room that they had done that. And I think that is a big struggle, because we live in an Instagram perfect society. And you know, our kids are even, we're being welcomed into people's homes that are, you know, clearly multi-million dollar homes online, and everything looks so perfect. And even Bluey makes us think like everything has to be like this picture perfect moment with our families. And that's not in anywhere grounded in reality. But I think this idea that we have to go first in our vulnerability. And you know, you do have to be that first one sometimes to say, well, your kids' cartwheels are pretty good, you know. But I also think that it's biblical, right? Like you were talking about. And Jesus says, you know, when was I hungry, you know, and when were you hungry and you fed me and all those things. And let's see, what's that from? Matthew, right? Yeah. Matthew 25, 31 through 40. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. And that idea that when we are opening ourselves up to other people, when we are making our home a center of hospitality, even when things aren't perfect, when we are welcoming those community into our home, we are also welcoming Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think that it doesn't have to be necessarily into your home, but into your life when you are welcoming people and others to be a part of this, and welcoming people into your journey of your calling, you are also welcoming Christ, and Christ will speak through them in ways that you would have never found in a book, or even sometimes in studying your Bible alone, that they will speak into your life and you will say, whoa, you know, that was such a God moment right there.
Mm-hmm. Well, in hospitality, I used to laugh, when people would mention the spiritual gift of hospitality, right? Because it's in the list of spiritual gifts, hospitality. And I would laugh and be like, haha, I will never have that. And then realize that, you know, when you just make a space in your home and in your life for people, that's what hospitality is. And I think that my perspective was based so much on what my grandparents had taught me growing up. Like, you have to know how to set a table with all of the silverware, and you have to have the correct centerpieces, and you have to have like all of these things, all of these formalities that are fun and they're good to do and they're good to know. But that's not what hospitality really is. Hospitality is just bringing people in
creating
and
space.
Allowing them to feel like they're at home there. That's kind of become my home at this point, is I think one of my biggest mission fields. And I think that that has become, you know, what I think about is how can I make my home more of a home for other people?
Mm-hmm.
When they come in, what can be here that is gonna make them feel totally at peace? I have, and sometimes it's simple, you know, I have a lot of friends who have kids with like allergies. And so making sure that my home is free of those allergens so mm-hmm. that their kids can be safe there. I have some friends who are gluten-free. And so I have learned how to cook gluten-free things, which is pretty cool. So that when they come over, there's always something that they can have to eat, right? You know, little things like that, that show that you're paying attention to people. You know, there's a particular candle scent that one person who comes over just cannot stand. So I don't buy that candle anymore, you know, like things like that, that are, that just show like, I love you. I see you. I want you here. And I want this space to be a space where you feel welcome and at home.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, that's when you really do start living life together, you know, cause they're there for all of the things and, they want to be there. It becomes a space where people just, you know, they feel comfortable and they feel loved. And so they want to be there. And that's been that idea of that being what hospitality really is,
mm-hmm.
Has been transformative for me because, you know, I don't feel as much pressure for things to be all perfect. I just, it's just like, how can I love you while you're here?
Mm-hmm.
Has become what it is really.
And I think that it can be hospitality beyond the walls of your home. You know, it's welcoming people into your life.
Right.
And I am having to kind of reconfigure that in my head, especially since Josie's on a travel ball team. And my time is so much of my time now is with people who have this one interest in common. And and just finding that opportunity to know one another beyond the field is going to be, you know, we have to set those goals, you know, because our children's lives do take over our lives often. And, but you begin to love what they love too. But making that the ground, the breeding ground for hospitality in your life, welcoming them in different ways, being the one that brings the snacks or the person they always know is going to have the extra chair or, but also I think that, when I was thinking about, as you were talking about doing life together, you also want to make sure that as you are bringing people into your call, into your life and into that place of supporting you in ministry, because there is going to be that group that will emerge that are going to be your supporters as you go forward in this call, that you make sure that you are picking people that are different enough from you, but also people who will not be yes people, right? Who are not always going to tell you that what you're doing is awesome. Just making sure that your life is diverse in who you open yourself, your life up to. I know in my husband's small group, there's a guy who he is just so different from the rest of them. He's a single dad. He plays the trumpet and he goes and fills in like pep bands that play for college. But he will come and play his trumpet anywhere you want him to play his trumpet. So Gavin has him play his trumpet at the beginning of the regional cross country meet. but his interests are just like the other guys, except for Gavin, are hunters and fishermen and just like dudes, right? And this guy, but he is always going to come from left field with something to add that's going to make you go, huh, never thought about it that way. And so everybody, I think, needs a Charles in their group too. You know, that person who is different enough that they are going to give you that outside thing that you just would have never thought about on your own. And so making sure that they don't have to be the people that are just like you, the people like that you have things in common with. Sometimes it's the uncommon things that can bring you a common ground to talk, you know?
Yeah, that's so true, Becca. And that is another valuable piece of community, is having those different perspectives, because those are the people that make you go, huh, well, I didn't think about it like that. or I wouldn't have thought about seeing something from that perspective. And that's super important too. And Allison, I love what you said earlier. I wrote it down because I was like, I am going to remember that in looking at community. And you said something like, how can I love you while you're here? And I'm like, that is such a beautiful way to look at community, whether in the physical sense of how can I love you while we're here together, you know, present in my home or in church small group or, you know, at the coffee house or wherever, or as how can I love you while you're here in terms of we're in this season of life together. We are enduring a hard thing together. I'm walking alongside you and praying for you through whatever. And I was just thinking about how beautiful that is to visualize community in that way, no matter how small, how big, whatever size of your community that you have, and different communities, right? That we will have different communities of people that God puts in our lives for certain reasons and certain seasons of life, and how valuable that really is. And that was just really, I think, a beautiful description of community. Like, how can I love you while you're here and while we're here together and walking through that? I was wondering too, if you would sort of wrap us up, and really you're going to do this for me because you're going to challenge me. You're going to challenge all of us. Us introverts here. If you would give us a lasting, you're so good at this, a lasting word of encouragement, a lasting challenge of really putting yourself out there in terms of community, or just being open to the ways that God will align you with certain people. There are certain people that have come in my life that I'm thinking we would have never met. We would have never met otherwise, other than that was just a God-ordained moment, or that particular season of life, or that particular, child. Like, I think about the friends that I've made through my own kids' parents. We would have never crossed paths otherwise. And just how beautiful it is that God does that, and how he aligns that. But I'm wondering if you would give us maybe some of that lasting encouragement as we sort of wrap this episode up, or that last sort of challenge of being open to the ways that God works within community and even within our calling, and how he just lines all that up. I know that's putting you on the spot, but you're so good at that type of stuff. I feel like you got something in there for us.
First of all, I would encourage all of us to remember that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and our souls know that very well. It is impossible for us to have confidence enough to allow relationships to deepen to the point of true community, or to have confidence enough to start those conversations that are ultimately going to lead to friendships and community. It's impossible to have that confidence outside of knowing who God created us to be. And, I think recognizing that and relying on the fact that God created us in his image, and we are enough. And, if we're enough for God, then we're enough to have community with other people. And so I think relying on that is really, really important as we try to deepen community, because the more we know who God says we are, the more we're going to be able to lean into the communities that God has placed us in. Mm-hmm. I would also say, that we need to remember and be aware of the fact that not everybody has that same confidence that we have. Not everybody leans into who God says they are. And some people don't even know who God has created them to be. And so when we are in those kinds of relationships and we have the opportunity to tell people about who God created them to be, then that's going to help them with their relationships and community as well. I would also say, that God didn't create you to do your life alone. And it's important to look at the people who are around you. And if there's no one ever around you, you got to get outside your home. Mm-hmm. We do live in a very isolated society. We can do all of our interactions virtually, and that was not how we were created to operate. Mm-hmm. And so we need to go back to some analog relationships, I think. Yeah. We need some face to face, and we need some moments that we can't edit, and we need to we need to be okay with the fact that we're human and just let people see that authentic self, you know, that we have. So, yeah, I my prayer for everyone listening is just that you'll look around and just see who has God placed in your life and who can you pour into more and where can you find humility to let other people pour into you. And then just pray that God continues to build those relationships in a way that you'll have the kind of community that will support you in your knowledge of God and your walk of faith, but that also will support you in your calling and push you toward doing all of the things that God has planned in advance for you to do, because there's so many good things. You know, a life lived for Jesus is the best kind of life. And so it takes community to be able to pursue that on a daily basis. So that's my hope and my prayer for everyone is that you're able to find that and really have enjoyed being on today. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for doing it. And that is such an encouraging word. And I love that. Again, you've said so many things. I'm going to have to put them on t-shirts or something. You know, we need more moments that we can't edit. And again, about the vulnerability with people and just opening ourselves up and the humility. And I think that's such a good word, such a good word. And we appreciate you being on and just giving us wisdom and more insight into this. And I mean, I've learned a lot from you just even sitting here as we've gone through this episode. So I'm sure our listeners have as well, but we appreciate you and appreciate who you are and for being part of our community. And just thanks for being here and giving us insight.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Well, we're going to wrap up this episode for today and actually wrap up this episode series on Trust in the Call. This will be the last episode here in the series, and we will be back soon with a brand new series for you later on this summer. And so be on the lookout for that. But as always, we're so glad that you are here with us, friends, and we will see you next time on Beyond the Moment.
Bye, friends.